Hello, and welcome to another episode of Film Favorites. My name is Bryce Vales, and with me as always is my good friend, Aaron Chase.
Hey, Bryce.
Hello, Aaron. It's the end of an era. Or at least the end of season one.
Yay, we did it.
Of Film Favorites. Yay, celebration.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you a drink just for the occasion.
Special drink?
No, just another drink.
Okay.
Well, to make this episode really special, we're counting down three more of my favorite films of all time.
Does that make it special, or is that just what the fucking premise is?
These three I like better than the last three.
That makes sense. That's also part of the premise. All right.
Oh. Well, for those who don't know the premise, Aaron, thank you. By this point, that's kind of strange if you've listened to every episode so far.
If you listen to every episode, that in and of itself is strange.
Very.
Yeah.
Considering we're not even at the good movies yet.
No, not at all.
Oh, you've liked a bunch of them.
I really enjoyed Rope.
You've really enjoyed Rope? And several others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Near Dark.
Near Dark. Episode number one.
And here's episode number 25. How exciting is that?
Weird.
So, as you know, this is just an excuse to watch movies, enjoy movies. It's a ranking just because that's what it is. We're just here to enjoy films. The numbers don't really matter. It's like that
comedy,
classic...
sports.
I was going to say something that more people would know, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Comedy sports.
Or comedy sports. The Groundlings. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
I don't think anyone gives a shit about that.
I give a shit about the Groundlings.
Have you seen the Groundlings in life?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I have not. I would like to, though.
That seems actually like a lot of fun.
That's off topic.
It is.
You know what's on topic?
What is, Bryce?
What's on topic is my 427th favorite film of all time. And that's where we're going to be starting today, Aaron.
Okay.
With my first David Lean film.
Ooh.
Ooh. David Lean is, of course, the director of such films as Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, okay, I'm already... Okay.
He's a good director, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of his sort of... I don't know if that actually quite falls into the right category. It's sort of one of his Dickensian films. He directed the original Oliver film adaptation. Not the musical, of course. But this is his 1954 film, Hobson's Choice. Little known, not one of his bigger, grander films, actually a very small scale, based on a play, I believe. It stars Charles Laughton, who is a fantastic actor. If you are lucky/smart, before we get to the end of this list, you'll have seen several Charles Laughton performances. He is considered one of the greatest.
Like Daniel Day-Lewis?
He would have been on that tier in his time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a committed theater actor before getting into film, and of course he still did theater afterwards. But this is a fun performance by him. This is a comedy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's vaguely feminist.
What year was it?
1954.
Okay.
But it's set in the turn of the century, 1900 or so. I can't actually remember exactly when, but I want to say it's around 1900, give or take.
Okay.
But it revolves around this drunken man who owns this shoe store and his daughters who help him run the store. And this one daughter is very independent and wants to... make a name for herself, wants to live her own life, and decides to go into business for herself, sort of in competition with her father.
Oh, okay. I was like, this sounds like a life that someone leads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
it's shenanigans and antics.
Shenanigans. There's some really fun cinematography in it, especially in the opening scene and throughout. But it's very theatrical, it's very big, but it's a fun comedy that's not really well known today. It's not one that people talk about, I think, too much. but I think it's one that's worth seeing. And really a big part of that is Charles Laughton. He's great. This is nowhere near his best performance, mm-hmm. but he does a good job in it. He has a lot of fun being the big drunkard.
So far, the only thing that is stopping me from, I mean, other than I don't know the other two, the only thing stopping me from being like, okay, we can watch that, is that it's a comedy. Mm-hmm. And I know that humor generally does not translate well over time, especially from like 50s comedy. And that's the only thing that's keeping me from it, but it's also making me curious to see like sure. what they perceive as comedy. And the other reason why I'm leaning against it is just because the last episode we watched what was supposed to be a comedy, and I'm trying to keep it changed up, but I
fair.
Don't know what's going to be
fair.
Next. So
you only chose that though because you didn't want to take any risks.
That's fair. So I'm looking to take a risk this episode.
Hey,
this is the last episode of the season, so
that's right. You know. So really, you should follow your heart.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess I'll leave that at. I'll leave Hobson's Choice there.
Okay.
But it's good. It's worth seeking out. I'm saying that assuming you're not going to pick it.
Oh, based off of these other two?
Well, I mean, you're not going to be able to pick my number 426.
Okay.
Even though it maybe could have sort of been called my 426/426.5. Because this is the first time, I believe it only happens two or three times in my entire list, where I have more than one film occupying a slot.
Okay.
And this is the one that's probably the biggest stretch. A couple of the other ones I think make more sense. But I feel justified.
Okay.
Okay. And you won't be able to pick it because you've seen them.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Aaron, but my number 426... from directors Joe and Anthony Russo, their 2018 and 2019 films, Avengers Infinity War and Endgame.
God damn it, Bryce, why is that so low on the list?
Yeah, that's going to offend some people. Some people are not going to tune in for season two.
Most people are going to be upset by that choice.
A lot of people are going to say, well, we can't trust Bryce anymore.
Why the fuck is that so low? That is a groundbreaking...
Yeah, I know. Actually, we haven't really had a conversation because you just... You
get upset?
No. I don't want to bring you down. You really loved Infinity War when it came out. I remember you saying that it should have won Best Picture.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
It should have.
Yeah, and that's absurd. The point is, yes. Not the point, the reason why it's so low on my list is because this is the... Because. I'll praise it first.
Okay.
The visual effects are... I was going to say second to none. Second to very, 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 very few. They're stupendous. A lot of it is seamless, A-tier, best special effects you'll see in a movie. I like a lot of the humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it mostly works. And especially... Well, there's different reasons why... I actually have different reasons for liking them and disliking them.
As different films.
Yeah, they just ended up being like so close to each other that I thought, eh.
They need to, yeah.
They were filmed back to back as basically one large production.
They're a companion piece.
They are. They're very much companion pieces, more so than most sequels. Infinity War, the big positive I'll give it is how they treated Thanos. As making the villain be the protagonist
Thanos
of the film is really interesting for this kind of movie. And interesting in general. You don't see that too often, except for like anti-heroes and things like that. But that's not what this is. This guy is...
The villain.
The villain of this big superhero movie, and he's also the protagonist. I find that interesting, and they made him rather engaging. And again, the special effects for him were fantastic. Josh Brolin does a good job in the mocap performance. And there's a couple of... Like, I really like the... fight between him and the Avengers on... Is it Titan or...
Yeah,
whatever
that was great.
Wherever that was. Great fight. One of the best fights in the MCU. Really imaginative. All the different heroes doing the different things. And I know not everyone agrees with me here. Actually, I think most people disagree. I don't like how all the different pieces were stitched together. All the different storylines. I know it's impressive that they were able to make a story make sense.
Yeah.
But just because it's impressive that they made it make sense doesn't make the story good or engaging for me. I thought it was lumpy. That's not the word I'm looking for. I thought it was really kind... It was a little disjointed, a little more than a little disjointed. And it was juggling so many balls. And they all kept up in the air... But it didn't. It had to be that,
yeah.
Because of what they built before this huge monstrosity of this series, it couldn't be anything more streamlined. They did the best that they could, but just because it's the best they could have done doesn't mean I love it.
Everyone hates you right now.
That's fair. There were so many things going on. And I didn't care about anything except Thanos.
I think you don't give a shit about the MCU.
No, I like quite a few films. There's several films on this list.
But
I'm not a big diehard fan of it.
I think you're right when it comes to the story and the plot and all that. Lumpy actually is a funny word to describe it. Because it's just lumps. Even the color palettes were...
Well, that's a good... they did that so you could really differentiate the different places. It was lumpy because it had to be.
Right. But it's the characters. It's raw character. I love watching Thor do Thor shit. Mm. And Thor interact with Star-Lord. I love watching Spider-Man interact with... It's what it is just watching these characters hang out.
Sure.
And I love that.
And that's why I like Endgame. That's one thing I like better in Endgame than in Infinity War. Because we're now focusing more on the heroes we've spent more time with. Mm-hmm. Infinity War didn't have as much... Well, very little Captain America. Had very little...
Other people that you won't remember.
Yeah. Endgame... Again, the positive side... we focus more on the characters that we've really got to know. Wish there could have been other characters in it, but they were gone at this point due to Infinity War. Mm-hmm. But it really felt like a nice, warm send-off.
Yes.
A really warm and cozy ending. I mean, big character deaths notwithstanding, mm-hmm. of course, but earned deaths.
Yes.
And... the big Avengers Assemble moment.
It felt so good.
It felt so good. And it's kind of cheesy doing the time travel thing, just going back to the different movies we've seen. It's cute.
They earned it.
Exactly. And it's much, like, the story is, like, I can follow it. And it's one story. And we're going off to doing the different things, but we start all together, mm-hmm. and we go our separate paths, and we come together, and it's... And I don't like saying, oh, it's more traditional, so it's better, because you've seen some films on this list that aren't necessarily very traditional.
Yes.
And just because it's, I'm not a big traditionalist, I'm all for experimentation and being big and bold, but, for this kind of movie, I like a nice, a story.
I think my issue, I don't expect it to be in the top 100 for you. I'm surprised it didn't hit the threes or the twos in that it is just such a monumental moment in cinema history.
Doesn't make it a favorite of mine.
Okay.
There's lots of big movies that are not on my list at all.
Okay. I will just leave it there then, Bryce.
All right. Oh, and then for the negatives for Endgame, Thanos was a whatever character at this point,
yeah.
Which is kind of sad because he was the best part of Infinity War. If they had tied Thanos in a little bit more strongly in Endgame and Infinity War probably occupied different spaces on the list, Endgame being much higher, but that really did kind of drag it down because the villain aspect of Endgame wasn't nearly as strong.
I agree.
Which is too bad, but yeah, they're good, they're big, they're fun, they completely depend on you seeing
everything.
At least 15 other movies.
Yep.
Maybe not every single one. I missed a couple by the time I saw Infinity War, and I was like, okay. I just had a roll with the punches.
Yeah.
But it's the nature of the beast. It's impressive, but it's just so cumbersome.
That's fair.
And I'm sorry, everybody. I'm so sorry.
You should be.
But don't worry, there are other MCU movies that you like less that are going to be higher on the list.
This is going to upset people.
Oh, yeah. We should probably move on.
I agree.
This is going to be so anticlimactic, because this is okay. My number 425th favorite film of all time, director Tommy Wiseau's... I'm joking.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay, I'm listening.
No, it's not The Room.
Okay.
This is a good joke, though.
Is it?
It's not The Room.
Okay.
My 425th favorite film of all time is director Roger Donaldson's 2006 film, The World's Fastest Indian. This is a film that looks like you don't know what it is, Aaron.
No, it sounds offensive.
It is not a Native American they're talking about.
They're talking about motorcycles. Okay, they're not talking about engines. They're talking about Indians.
Like an Indian motorcycle.
Right. Is that a motorcycle?
It's a type of motorcycle.
Weird. Okay. Huh. Okay, the world's fastest one.
World's Fastest Indian. Starring Anthony Hopkins. In what I would say is his best, I was going to say one of his best, but yeah, probably his best late career performance, based on a true story about Burt Monroe trying to set a land speed record, trying to build the world's fastest Indian, a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And he's in,
he
hates flies. It's again based on a true story. Burt Monroe, he's a New Zealander, he's a Kiwi, and he's just got this obsession with speed, and it's just this old man. It's kind of a road trip story, him going from New Zealand, making his way through America to make it to these salt flats so he can set this record. So
I'm blown away that I'm far more interested in the one from the 50s right now.
You're joking.
I'm not even joking. This sounds so uninteresting to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Maybe it was the way he described it. None of that made me interested. None of that made me curious. None of that made me... Like, everything about that felt bland.
It's a very straightforward film. It is. It's buoyed by some good performances.
Anthony Hopkins.
But again... Good Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins can sometimes just kind of go out there and do weird stuff, and it'd be fun, but not great. This is a good Anthony Hopkins performance. Again, one of his better ones, especially late career. Meets cute cast of characters on his way, whatever. Basic road trip stuff. The engaging parts are him on his motorcycle. There are some real fun sequences of him...
Just being on the motorcycle.
Yeah, you're making it sound fun too. He's a quirky guy. Burt Monroe is a neat character. It's hard to describe, but it's a character piece. It's this guy and his passion, and you're just following him and his passion. But it's good. I don't know what to say.
I'm surprised too. I wasn't expecting to be like, yeah, I definitely would rather watch the comedy from the 1950s.
I'm supremely surprised. I'll tell you right. We'll watch it. You want to watch Hobson's Choice?
Yeah.
Okay. We've sealed the deal. I'm telling you now. You would enjoy World's Fastest Indian much more.
Really?
Oh yeah. But we're watching Hobson's Choice.
All right.
But you would have a good time. You'd be like, oh, that was nice.
Well,
with World's Fastest
Indian.
Good
thing I'm gambling.
You are gambling.
What if I love this? I won't. It's a comedy? Yeah, I won't.
It's a comedy from the 50s.
Yeah, I'm going to hate it. I'm going to tear it apart, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, I would be surprised if you liked this.
I think I made a mistake, but we're here.
We are here. We are watching David Lean.
You look so shocked.
I am very shocked. I thought you would pick the...
safer choice?
And it is. It's...
It just sounds boring.
It's not.
All right.
It's nice. It's one of those like pleasant movies that you're like sit back like, oh, that was nice. I had a good time watching that. That was a fun character. He's quirky.
Yeah.
you know, like Amelie is nice and quirky. This is not like Amelie. It's not. It's nowhere near as weird as Amelie, but it's that same kind of like, oh,
that was nice.
Fun characters, nice, pleasant film. I like that. That's what World's Fastest Indian is. But you chose Hobbs and Shaw, and that's what we're watching.
Okay.
Director, you okay?
Yeah, it's just hot in the fly. It's just hot in the fly. That's all.
We're not watching the 50s version of Fly. We're watching David Lean's 1954 comedy, Hobson's Choice. So, Aaron.
Yes, Bruce.
Tell me what happens in David Lean's 1954 film, Hobson's Choice.
Well, there is a shoe shop in England. It's in England, right?
It is in England.
Okay. There's a shoe shop in England run by an old, fat, drunk, curmudgeon-y man.
Yes.
He has three daughters, one of which is 30 and is unmarried, which is...
They're all unmarried.
They're all unmarried, but the one that's 30 is, it's especially out of the norm for this time period. He wants to marry them off, but he doesn't want to pay stipends or something.
Marriage settlements.
He doesn't want to pay marriage settlements. He's miserly. He doesn't spend money like that. He's an asshole.
Very much
He's
so.
He's just an asshole, through and through. He has a guy working for him under the basement who apparently is very good at what he does and is told that by an especially rich woman. Then the oldest or the eldest daughter decides that she wants to start her own business, but mm-hmm. because of the time period and she's a woman and sexism, she has to marry, she needs help, and she doesn't have the skill to create the shoes, so she decides that she's going to get the guy that works for her father.
Will. Her name is Maggie.
Right. Yeah.
Easier than the guy.
Yeah. Will.
So
Maggie,
the oldest daughter.
Maggie, the oldest daughter, decides, I'm going to marry Will, the guy who works in the basement, who's kind of dumb. He's got a Forrest Gump vibe. Where he's sweet, but simple.
Very simple. Good at what he does.
Yes, very good at what he does, but simple.
Yes.
She marries him, and essentially... gives him a glow up, and they start their own business. Spoilers
for Hobson's Choice.
They start their own business, and it actually flourishes. Will changes as a person. Maggie kind of changes a little, becomes sweeter, from what I can mm-hmm. tell. The other daughters marry off, but I don't think that matters all that much.
Not too much. I mean, it's a little plot detail
right.
About them. About more of Maggie's machinations.
I love the alliteration.
Thank you. Sort of leveraging her marriage to Will
mm-hmm.
and her father's drunkenness
yes.
against him to allow her sisters to be married off as well. It kind of hard to explain.
It's a
so
whole
I'm not
thing.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But she's very shrewd.
Yes. So Will and Maggie both grow and change together. While her father continues to spiral down his whole asshole behavior, ultimately ending going full circle where Will and Maggie end up becoming partners. Mm-hmm. But from what I gather, they're just going to take over.
Yeah.
There's an implication to me.
Hobson Sr.
Yes.
Is becoming a silent partner.
Just right. He's just a guy. And
his name will be on the sign, but that's about it.
And they take over the business, and everyone lives happily ever after.
Hopefully.
He'll probably die from alcoholism, but...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That's
about sums it up.
What'd you think of it?
I'm going to start negative, then I'm going to go positive.
That's a good sign. Normally, you start positive and end negative if you don't like something, but if you like something, you
is
normally
that what
start...
normally happens? Let me just be clear. I don't like this movie.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but I just don't. I cannot stand the character Hobson. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the actor, because the actor did a good job at being unlikable.
Charles Lawton, the great actor Charles Lawton.
Yeah, Charles Lawton did so well at being unlikable, I never wanted to see him on screen. He frustrated me every second of the way. I hated his... No, as an actor, I think he's fine. He's good, whatever.
as a comedic slapstick actor, he's dog shit. He's terrible. Every moment, his fucking...
No one knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no one
right
knows.
Now.
And
no one can see what he's doing.
He's... Okay. Have you ever seen... You know when theater kids try to act like cartoon characters?
Sure.
It's like that, where they don't... There's the... As a human being, you do not have the speed to match a cartoon character's behavior. And that's what it feels like he's doing. He's trying to be a cartoon character rather than a live-action slapstick person.
And you're talking specifically during the drunken scene.
Yeah, during drunken scene. The first scene, when he goes up the stairs, I was like, Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be drunk, and it's supposed to be hilarious that he's drunk. And he decides to go up some stairs, and he's trying to do it. He's trying to be funny. It's just not. There's something angering about seeing someone try to be funny and it's not funny. I don't know what it is. Like, watching someone try to be dramatic and it's not good is funny.
It can be funny.
It can be funny. But watching someone try to be funny and it's not funny is so frustrating.
I agree. Especially when the comedy is poorly done. I wouldn't say that the comedy is poorly done.
No. It's... I'm sorry.
Go on.
It's specifically his slapstick.
Mm-hmm.
There's other moments in the film that are sweet. There's other moments in the film where I genuinely laugh.
Several times. The movie got some laughs out of you.
Yeah, there's points in the film that are sweet, endearing, likable, funny, interesting, had a little bit of momentum to it, had some had good pacing.
Momentum? But at points, what are you talking about? What could possibly kill the momentum?
That fucking guy, every time he's on screen, I'm like, fuck, this whole movie is coming to a halt. I don't care. I don't want to see him. Like, he's a good foil to... He's a good, like, oh, we don't have to watch him anymore. We can watch these other people. Great. And it makes these other people shine. Like...
It's the saddest foil I've ever heard. Continue.
Will and Maggie, specifically. In the very beginning, I thought I was going to be miserable during this whole film because of the beginning, because it focused on him so much, and I was hating it. I was hating the movie. And then eventually Maggie started having some agency and then roped Will into the situation. And it took me a little bit at first because I just hated the movie from the beginning. Then the more it... went away from Hobson and the more it focused on Maggie and Will, the more I was like, oh, this is endearing. Mm-hmm. Like, I can actually enjoy this. There's a point where Maggie looks at Will. I think it was in the... she asked him to kiss him.
Oh, in the little alleyway?
Yeah. So Will the Simpleton is not sexual. He's very sweet, big heart.
Yeah, it's very timid around ladies.
Right. And he... There's a point where before they're married, she's like, kiss me. And he's like, but that's naughty or whatever.
Here? In front of people?
In public?
Yeah.
And so he's like, I can't. And there's this, you see this little smirk? And
he walks away like, oh, yeah. Anxiously, oh no. And she's just like, that is, oh, you're sweet.
Yeah, there's a sweetness about it.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to fucking Hobson. And I'm like, oh, this is just so hard to watch when he's on fucking screen. Like, he is a shockingly unlikable character. I would say most of the negatives are on him and his slapstick and his sheer unlikability. Those are those two things. And the last negative thing I'll say is the pacing.
I don't disagree, but I definitely don't agree with your criticism, Charles Laughton, before. I love that man. It was not this... I would say it was the weakest part of the film, but I didn't hate it. But I will agree, the pacing is really wonky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have loved a very clear plot of rags to riches with Maggie and Will. Like, they... Maggie and Will had this, like, oh, I'm seeing... It's coming together. And Hobson just kept fucking it up. But the pacing was just weird.
Well... What made it weird for me was a sort of there's a sequence right after she gets married and her whole scheme to get her sisters married and their marriage settlements that felt climactic. It felt like everything's coming together. It's all of her planning. It's all of her, like, she's like moving all the pieces to accomplish this goal. And she pulls it off, and it feels like a climactic moment. The tail end of her wedding night. Everybody else leaves, and then her and Will bang.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't have been a great ending, but it built to this point.
Yeah.
And then it kept going.
Yeah.
And it felt like such a big win for her that, and Will, for Maggie and Will, that it felt like, well, we're done. We've accomplished
the goal.
We have started our own business. We are married. I got my sisters married. I outsmarted my father. It feels like an ending.
Yes.
See, that felt climactic. That felt like an ending. I mean, I like the ending that we got. I think it represents a better full circle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that sort of, it's not a fake-out ending. I don't think they meant for us to feel like it was the end. It just, it did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll call it that. That fake-out ending, I think, really kind of threw a wrench in the pacing, especially in that second half.
Yes.
Because you're like, ooh, it's such a stop-and-go.
I think the other thing, and I won't do this again. I forgot we were recording, and then it came up on my calendar. The other thing was I watched Get Out early this morning.
Mm.
And I can't, I'm not you. I'm sorry, Bryce. I can't do... First off, it's harder for me to do multiple movies in one day. I just don't have the patience for it. And it's really hard to go from something like Get Out to Hobson's Choice. And so it took me a little bit to figure out, understand the character's accents and like getting the groove of it.
Yeah.
And on top of Hobson being so irritating in the very beginning, it just was hard. But then as it softened itself to me, and I was like, okay, I can get into this now. But I need to not do that. I can't watch another movie before we do a film favorites episode.
Yeah, we knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
This reaffirms that.
Yes. We live and we learn. I think that it is actually, if I'm to say positive things, it's a testament to the film that it was able to kind of win me over time. I did appreciate what... I don't regret picking it.
That's
shocking.
Not shocking, but that's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I don't regret picking it. It is actually like... What is it? Native Americans go quickly? What is it called?
What the hell are you trying to say? Oh, the World's Fastest Indian?
Yeah. World's Fastest Indian seemed like a safe choice.
Yes. I think you would have... It would have been a smoother film for you.
But if the point of film favorites is partly to me expanding my horizons, I actually think that this movie was a good example of the point of this whole thing, why we kind of started this, minus just to watch movies and stuff, was for me to be able to understand film in a different way. And I actually think it is working because I was able, it took me a little bit, partly because of Get Out, partly because of Hobson in the beginning, but I was able to like click into it because I'd watched so many other movies from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and 70s. I've seen movies from different eras, so I understand their, I don't even know how to put it into words. I understand the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know how to like, mentally click into, oh, this is going to be in black and white. Oh, okay, this is going to be British. Oh, this is going to be slower. This is going to be weird. Or this is going to be kind of boring in some places. And I'm okay with that. I think that I'm actually, overall, I'm glad that I picked the film over the Native Americans.
World's Fastest Indian.
World's Fastest Indian.
It's not literally a Native American person. It's a motorcycle.
Right. Okay, we're thinking of them as objects, my bad. No, but I'm glad I picked this movie. I'm glad that I sat down and I was able to push through it. I'm glad that I was able to see the positives in it. I'm glad that the negatives didn't completely destroy the film for me. I think Rope is better. It's consistent. I don't know why the fuck this is above Rope.
I think this is a better film than Rope. I think... No, okay.
No.
I I think of Rope as a really interesting experiment with some good performances. And let's see, I find Rope to be a little bit more inconsistent performance-wise. The leads were all good, but really just the aunt that really bugs me. I think she, I feel about, I didn't talk about it because it's not an important thing, but the aunt to the guy who was murdered in Rope.
Yes.
I can't stand her. I can't stand her voice. I can't stand her cadence, her attitude. Is whenever she opens her mouth, I intentionally tune it out.
It sounds like Hobson is to me.
That's what I was getting at. She was my Hobson. I dislike Hobson in the way that I'm supposed to because he's the antagonist and he is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't loathe him on like a meta level outside of what I'm supposed to in the film. So I think that's the big difference. If you took that out of the equation, take that out of your head. So all that's left is the awkward pacing. Does it make a little bit more sense why I like this so much?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Do you want me to recommend or not recommend? Are we at that point? Because I don't have
much else. You can. There's more to talk about.
Is there?
The phrase Hobson's choice is actually, it's a phrase. It's like a term. It means something. So it's a play on what a Hobson's choice is. Hobson's choice is a choice where the option is the option given to you or nothing. It's an all or nothing choice.
Oh, so it's not a choice.
It's Hobson's choice. That's why they have a phrase for it. And that a Hobson's choice comes up several times in this film. She's like, I'm doing this.
Oh, okay.
This is what's happening. Oh. Or, I'm out. And that's the way she operates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the way he operates, too. It's my way or the highway, every single time. So I thought that was a neat thing and something I assumed you wouldn't know.
I did not know that.
It plays into the movie.
It does.
It plays well. And his name is Hobson.
It's all coming together.
It's cute. It's cute. So I'm trying to think if you've seen any other David Lean films, how this compares to... I'm guessing you haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia.
No.
Or the original Oliver.
No.
Or you might have seen Bridge on the River Kwai.
No.
I feel like you were there. Watched it with Matt. He was so mad at Alec Guinness. It's the movie that made him hate British people.
That sounds like Matt, but
okay.
I don't remember.
Fair enough. Well, in that case, this was your first David Lean film.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't hate it.
Yeah.
There are other ones I think you will like significantly more.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
This is the lowest David Lean film.
As it probably should be.
Aww. Yeah. No, there are some really good ones that aren't on my list. Mm. But that is what it is. So, performances. You didn't like Charles Laughton.
No.
But you did like, you commented positively both on John Mills, who played Willie,
mm-hmm.
and Brenda DeBanzi,
mm-hmm.
who played
Maggie.
Will
went through a shocking character change.
Didn't see it coming.
Not at all. Not even a little bit. I was actually really blown away by that, as an actor, too.
It was very natural.
Yeah, it felt...
And not like a complete 180. You could still tell it was the same character. You know, like some like big... Because Willie is a big character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very... He makes big choices as an actor. He's very simple, very sweet, very timid. And you take performances like that and you give them like a big arc and then like do a complete 180. It's almost like they're a completely different character. They take it to such an extreme. But not this time.
No.
You can still tell that that's Willie.
I think it's a lot of heart.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heart in the character. And it's hard to, with these types of performances, especially older films, the idea that to describe it as subtle feels like the wrong word, because it's not subtle, at least by modern standards.
Sure. Well, performances back then were bigger, more theatrical.
Yeah.
Modern performances...
Because they're playing with the camera, you can get close in on people, and like you.
They didn't have close-ups back then,
right? So
that was a joke, Aaron.
What?
That was a joke. There are plenty of close-ups in this movie,
right? But I mean, like the way we film now.
Sure, they play in a lot of wides and
Feels like a play.
It does.
It feels like a play
in a lot of ways.
And
this film in particular feels very theatrical, I feel like. Like this was like a stage adaptation or something.
But there is a subtlety. As time goes on, it's him at his core, but these little tiny things that keep happening. He's just a very weirdly subtle actor. For a guy who's doing this very broad character, you know what it is? It's a broad character with subtle changes in it.
It's all these little details that build this broad character, so he can tweak those little things, but still maintain that central core.
Yes, I very much liked him. In fact, I would say he's my favorite part of the film.
I would agree. I think John Mills did a great job in this film. He's probably my favorite part as well. Brenda DeBanzi also really great as Maggie. A more subtle change.
Yes.
But distinct.
Yeah, she felt more similar to Hobson in the beginning, and then she felt more similar to Willie by the end.
Sure. Well, she hardens him up just a little bit, and he softens her up just a little bit.
Yeah, nice balance. And she felt... When the film first started, because I had a bad taste in my mouth from Hobson, I didn't like her either.
Mm-hmm.
She felt cold and distant, which I think she was supposed to feel, and distant. And I didn't like when she took him from
the gal that he was talking to.
Yeah, it felt like weird.
Well, it's just her, the whole film really is driven by her and her choices until the end. That was an interesting scene, because I think we're meant to understand that Willie and the gal that he was talking to was just a relationship because...
They're both poor.
Both poor people that, you know, they need to get married eventually. And,
right.
And we hear her... Because it's not like I'm stealing him away, like, bo-ha-ha, bo-ha-ha. We see Willie standing outside the window, listening in as she's pleading her case very strongly, saying, I love this man, and he's gifted and talented, and I want to encourage him, and I want him to be the best man that he can be, and I know he can be great, and yada, yada, yada. And she doesn't necessarily steal him away.
Right. She wins him over.
She wins him over. Much to the disappointment of that other young gal's mother.
Yes.
Which got the biggest laugh out of you.
Oh, without question. There was maybe two moments in this film with pitch-perfect comedic timing.
Pitch-perfect. I know that one. I'm excited to see... Well, let's talk about this one really quick.
With the slap?
Yeah, it's a great slap.
There's a scene where Willie is blissfully looking off...
It's him listening to Maggie pleading her case.
And there's this crescendo of music, and it's building, and it's supposed to build to this beautiful... Like, you know the... this is going to be a weird comparison, but you know in the beginning of The Lion King, where the music builds, and then... it would be like if Rafiki was lifting up Simba, and then somebody came from... Like, Scar came from behind and slapped him off of the cliff. Like, the mom comes out with the... perfect comedic timing.
We don't even see her come out. It's just this close-up on Will. We can't explain it.
It is one of those movies, like, you would have to watch it to see it. It's really funny.
But I agree. Pitch-perfect timing. Yeah. Gets a laugh. What's the other one?
I can't remember the other one.
Oh, it's pitch-perfect.
Though. It's pitch-perfect. But then
whatever it is.
There was something about that moment. I think that was the first moment. It was endearing. It was endearing itself to me. And that was the first moment in the film where I was like, okay. All right.
It can be funny.
It can actually be funny.
And several points throughout, it is.
It is.
So, overall, you didn't hate it. Did you like it?
I respected it.
All right.
I appreciate it for what it is, and I respect it. I never want to watch it again.
If we took Hobson out of the equation, would you say you like it?
Yes.
Ah. So close.
Yeah. It really comes down to him.
Yeah.
Because the awkward pacing, whatever, movies, that's fine.
You're going to get that in a lot of older films.
Yeah, and I've kind of accepted that. But he is so grainy. Like, I don't... In the same way you feel about the aunt. I just don't want to see him on screen. I don't want to hear him talk. I don't want him to see... Especially do anything funny. I'm starting to realize, like, a little bit of comedy, a little bit of stand-up comedy sprinkled in here.
Go for it.
Sometimes, there have been times when I'm performing and it's not going well and I'm bombing, and people are heckling or being assholes, and there have been times when I'm like, fuck, man, I'm just trying to make you laugh. I'm doing something positive. But watching this reminds me, like, oh, there's something angering about watching someone try to be funny and they're not being funny. I don't know what it is. I don't know what brings out this fury in people, but it just does. And for a comedy, if you're not being funny, it's like then you're not doing your goal. And
so what you're saying is people should heckle more.
Yeah, that's what it is. People should just ruin every set I do. They do. I'm on the street now. So.
Well, luckily, any other Charles Laughton films coming up on the list are not comedies.
Oh, good.
They are dramas. I'm still going to... I might refrain from telling you that he's in them.
Please do. Please do not tell me he's in them.
Yeah, because you won't choose him, I'm sure.
No, it'll distract me.
Oh,
yeah. If I don't know it's him... If I find out it's him on my own, I'll be like, oh, okay, it's him.
It's him.
If you tell me it's him, you're gonna be
going in with the worst mind.
Yes, yeah, don't tell me.
I won't tell you. Starring some people.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, recommendations. This will be an interesting one.
If you're like Bryce and you listen to this, because this is the first season. Hey!
This is the end of the first season.
This is the end of the first season.
This is the last episode of
season. If you have listened to this throughout and you feel, if you're a film person the way Bryce is, go watch this movie. You would love it.
Well, I mean, maybe. Comedy is very subjective.
But if you're just someone like you.
It's worth seeing. Yes. I would agree.
If you're someone like me, I would not suggest it. If you're an average moviegoer, you're not going to be able to get through it. Because it's mostly because of a lot of things. I think I've been massaged into this moment. I think if you had made me watch this movie in the beginning, I wouldn't have liked it as much.
No, I'm sure.
So
it put you through the ringer.
Yeah, I've watched. When you watch Potep.
I made you watch Potep.
Yeah, when you get through Potep.
Then we'll talk.
Yeah. So I would say I wouldn't recommend it for people. But for an average person, I wouldn't recommend it. But for a film buff, yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's good to note. And this is not a hugely popular classic film, so there's, I'm guessing, going to be quite a number of people who are film buffs who haven't seen it. So to all you out there, I think it's worth checking out. So, Aaron,
first season
done. I'm glad you picked the, and you know what, I am glad you picked this over World's Fastest Indian for exactly the points you raised earlier, especially to put a cap.
Yeah, that would have been anticlimactic had I picked.
Yeah. No, but here we are, ending the first season with a truly classic film, in the sense that it is old and classic. But thank you for going on this journey with me, Aaron. Here's to less controversial picks than me liking the Infinity War and Endgame films one slot more than this movie we just watched.
Shocking.
So to all of you out there who stuck with it through thick and thin, through me only sort of liking Avengers Endgame, we'll look forward to watching more movies with y'all.
Season two.
Coming to a how do people listen to podcasts?
Phones?
Coming to a phone near you.
I think people listen to one of their phones. I don't think people listen to them on TV.
Laptops?
No. Because people don't, like, sit and stare.
No, but while they're working or something?
Yeah. Phones, but that's on the... I'm going to say phone.
You're going to say phone?
Yeah, I'm going to say phone.
Season 2 of Film Favors coming to a phone near you. Thank you very much, Aaron. Until next time.
Until next time, Bryce.
This has been a Buddy System presentation of Film Favorites.